Okay, hi everybody. Okay, so we are we're going to start kashering, talking about kashering, and first we're going to talk about some of the fundamentals, and then we get into the practical stuff. So first of all, what's the source for the halachos of kashering, for the need of kashering? So when in the wilderness, in the Midbar, when the Bnei Yisrael had a battle with Midian, some of the spoils were kitchen equipment. So the pasuk says in Bamidbar, "Ach es hazav v'esakasev." I'm not sure if this is right. "Es anachoshes es habarzel es habdil v'esofares." So I can't remember what was coming. It's saying, however, right? But I can't remember what was coming before. Kol davar asher yavo va'ish ta'aviru va'ish. Anything that is used in the fire. Literally, it says that comes into the fire, meaning anything that's used in the fire, taviru va'esh. You have to, meaning anything the Midianim used in their kitchen in fire, you have to pass it through the fire, the taher, and that will purify it. Ach b'meinida yischata, though they must also be purified by immersing in water. Anything that is not used in fire should be passed into water. So, if I'm not mistaken, it doesn't bring Mefarshim here. I believe the first, there's basically three things the pasuk is saying. Whatever is used with fire, pass it through fire. That seems to be talking about libun, which is a grill. A grill grate, a spit, like a shish kebab stick, or meaning things that you cook directly in the fire and the food has direct contact with them, with the cooking utensil. And then it says you also have to pass it into water, and that is referring to toiveling it, which is really a separate issue than koshering. You have to toivel something even if it has never been used before, even if it's inherently kosher, even if it's already kosher. Any utensil purchased from someone who's not Jewish, you know, if a Jew makes a utensil, then you know, it doesn't need to be immersed. But but if not, then it does. So that's like another thing that just is in the middle of this pasuk. And then anything that is not used directly in the fire, it should be here it translates immersed in water, but it means if I'm not mistaken, but it could be that there are different opinions. It's referring to agala, which means you dip it in boiling water to kasher it. Okay, so all right. So first of all, we have this fundamental thing here in the Gemara in Pesachim, around page 305. Amar Rav Huna, Brei de Rav Yoshua, Eitz Paror Magilo Beroschin of a Kli Risha. A wooden ladle should be, you should purge it. The word Hagala literally means purging. So Hagala is the kashering method referred to as dipping the item in boiling water, and that means purging, which is significant, which we'll see in a moment. Uvechli rishon, it has to be in a kli rishon, meaning if you do this in a kli sheni, if you do this in a, right, you take the boiling water and you put it into a bowl, and then you dip your wooden ladle into it, that will not kasher it. Do you remember why that would be the case? I don't know if we discussed it.
What are you saying? Is that what you're saying? that if it were cleaving,
yeah, if you pour out of the pot, you pour out of the boiling, your boiling water out of the pot, and you put it into a bowl, into a cliché-ny. Now it's a cliché-ny.
I know when you're talking about, like, if it makes a trace or not, I think we said it's not, look, no. I think maybe that was by, Eric Cleary, so maybe. It was, like, my focus. And then most people said, no, like, by cliché-ny, it doesn't actually cook it.
Yeah, yeah, very good. So now we're going to see why that's a problem, meaning the cliché-ny doesn't have the same heat, it doesn't have the same ability to transfer flavor, and in this case, it doesn't have the same ability to extract or purge the tray flavor that is in the utensil. So why is that? The end of this Gemara says, Kasavar kibolo kach polto. The way that the utensil absorbed whatever food or whatever flavor you want to extract from it, kach polto, that's how it emits it. So that really applies to all types of kashering. So that's why the halacha is that if you cook a piece of treif meat on a kebab stick or on a spit on top of the fire, it absorbed by direct fire, that's considered a more intense way of absorbing the flavor. Therefore, to extract that flavor, you have to do liblin, right? We're going to see in a second. That's koshering with direct fire. If you dip that into a pot of boiling water, that is a lower, it's a less less intense type of contact. It's not going to extract the tarf, the tray flavors that came from, you know, that absorbed into the spit. However, right, if you cooked your clam chowder, right, in a pot, then that you could dip the pot in boiling water or boil water in the pot itself, and that will extract the flavor. Hadacha, you see that, so that's, we just covered A and B. C is hadacha, rinsing in cold water. If utensils have not been used with hot food, then you just have to clean it. Okay, and then we'll see another category. If something hasn't been used at all, it just needs tevila, as I mentioned, in the pasuk, needs to be immersed in the mikvah. So let's see this all in the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, it's a brisa in Avodah Zarah. Halokeach kli, on page 306. Halokeach kli tashmish min ha'ovdei kochavim. If you purchase utensils from non-Jew, how do you handle them? Devarim shelo nishtamish bahen matbilan vehin torn. If they never use them, this brand new, you just tovel it. You do tevilas kelim, and they are pure, meaning you're allowed to use it. Devarim shenishtamish bahen al yedei tsonein. If they just used it with cold food, and therefore they didn't absorb anything, kagon kosos vechitonios utslochios. Whether it's cups or jugs or bottles, how do they translate it? Cups, jugs, flasks. Madichan, you rinse them in madbilan, and you have to do tevila, right? You're going to have to do tevila for everything. That's a theme throughout, right? Whether it's, kosher, whether it's never been used before or has, you always have to do tevila. They aim tohorim, and then they're pure. Then you can use it. So if it's things that have never been used in anything hot, then you just have to wash it. Devarim shenishtamish bahen al yedei chamin. What if you used it with hot food, and this means liquid? Kegon hayoros, whether it's pots, hakum kamosin, the vowels of that word are a little strange, kettles, mechame chamin, urns, Magilon, umatbilon, these are all things that you use on a stove, basically. Magilon, those are the things that you have to do hagala, right? You purge them with boiling water, you dip it in boiling water, or you heat up boiling water in it, umatbilon, and you, of course, do tevila again, vein tehorin, and they're pure. Devarim shenishtamish ben al yedei ha'or, if you used it with fire, kagon ha-shipudin, va-askilaos, either spits or grills, right? That's the grill grates. Malabanon, you do what's called libun, which it translates here literally as you heat them until they're white hot, because the word libun is from the word lavan, umat bilan, and then you immerse them in Torah, and then they're pure. So, okay, so we'll see more details about this, but those are the basic categories of koshering. Now, we're going to now talk about, in a moment, not this second, but in a moment we're going to talk about, it says that you heat up the spit or the grill grate until it's white hot. At least that's how it's translating it here. So, there doesn't seem to be, I'm wondering if this translation is right, because when you heat something up very hot, it gets to be a red hot or an orange color. It doesn't really turn white. So I'm not sure, you know, maybe the word, the shoresh lamed beis nun can also mean to clean or purify. So maybe that's what it means. But
you want to get it hotter than it was when it was not kosher.
Well, according to the principle, that's a great question, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but according to the principle of kibolo kach polto, which is like a basic axiom in the laws of koshering things, which we just saw on the previous page, that would indicate that it has to be an equivalent level of heat, not necessarily more. Now, just to be safe, yeah, you get it more.
Whatever you call the hottest.
Right.
You can call it white, red hot, I can call it white hot. Whatever it is, it's as hot as you can get it.
Yeah.
But you make it at least.
You want it to be at least, yes,
it's
yes.
At least that hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now, so this is an interesting yesod, the fundamental principle that we're going to see is relevant particularly about Pesach. Let's go to page 307, the top of page 307. Rami le Rav Amram le Rav Sheshes. So this is, Rav Amram is pointing out a contradiction between the Braisa we just read and a Mishnah. It says, Tanan ha shipudin va askala melabnan ba'or, how do you kasher the spit or the grill grate? You do libun, right? You burn it in the fire. Va Tanan, but the Mishnah says, regarding karbanos, Gabi Kachim hashifod v'askela magilon bechamin. How do you kasher a spit, or meaning a spit or a grill grate? You dip it in boiling hot water. So we have a contradiction here. It says, and this is regarding karbanos. Why do you have to if you grilled the meat from your carbon on a spit or on a grill grate, why do you have to kosher it? Any thoughts? Isn't the karbanos are kosher, right? They're kosher. So, one reason is that there's a halacha of nosar, that the different karbanos have different time frames that are specified by the Torah when you have to eat them. So, like for one common example is the day that the karban is brought and the night after. And if you leave any meat over till the next morning, then it becomes prohibited. It becomes treif. So let's say, so we don't need to go into the other time frames. Let's just use that example. The night after you brought your carbon. Oh, Alex, you have a question? Yeah.
So I know some carbonists, like part of it goes to the owner. I'm just thinking, like, let's say if someone else brings the carbon, am I allowed to eat from that part?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking maybe that
one. Oh, right, I think anyone can eat it. Yeah, yeah. So here's the case. You brought a carbon in the day. That night you grilled using the grate, right, on your grill. And then And but you ate all the meat. But as we know, when you grill something on a grate, it transfers the flavor into the grate. So now, when the next morning comes, even though you ate all the meat, but the flavor is flavor of a carbon, that the time is up. So that flavor becomes nosar. So your grill rack is now has nosar in it. It's not kosher. So that's why we're talking about koshering from karbanos, because of that time limit and the halach of nosar. So that being the case, so the Mishnah, it doesn't really say where this Mishnah is, but the point is, it says, oh, how do you kosher those grapes? You dip it in boiling water. Oh, what do you mean? That's not the way to kosher grapes. You only dip in boiling water things that were cooked in liquid, that you cooked on a stovetop. The grill grates, you have to do libun. You have to kosher them on fire. Why does it say, oh, just dip them and you're fine? Got the question? So the Gemara says, Amrlei Amram Bari. So Amram is the one that asked Rav Sheshis the question. So Rav Sheshis says back to him, he says, Amram, my son, Ma Inyan Kachem Eitzel Giulei Ovdei Kochavim. How are you comparing karbanos with the utensils that have treif in them, meaning that were purchased from non-Jews? Hacha hetera bala. In the case of the carbon, it swallowed, it absorbed, the grate absorbed permitted food. Hasam isura bala. In the case of the utensils that you bought from the non-Jew, it was treif, it absorbed treif. So apparently there's a difference of how you kosher something regarding if it's inherently prohibited. Now, right now it's treif, right? It's nosar. The time elapsed. So really both of them are not something you can eat. They both need to be kosher.
Would that be relevant with kosher l'Pesach?
Oh, we're going to see in a moment. Does that apply to kosher l'Pesach? Very good. So, and it's a huge ramification, right? That means that the kosher, if we apply this to Pesach, that means you don't have to torch anything, right? You don't have to put anything in the fire. You can just dip everything in boiling water. So let's look at this paragraph with the Rashba. The Rashba explains the reason for this leniency is that Hagala performed on a utensil, even one that requires Liban, does expel part of the absorbed taste. So, meaning, yes, normally if you are trying to get treif out of a grill grate, you can't just dip it in boiling water. Now, it doesn't mean it's totally ineffective. It gets out most of the prohibited flavor, but not all of it. So, so basically, if the flavor was permitted, then Hagala is enough. Because Hagala was performed on a utensil that it absorbed permitted taste before the time that the absorbed taste lapsed into the state of prohibition. Prohibition does not take effect on the minute amount of taste still in the utensil. So what he's saying is that for this whole Gemara is talking about when it says, oh, you're talking, don't compare clam chowder pork, let's say, you know, grilling pork. Don't compare that with grilling karbanos. Why? Because the karbanos, the case we're talking about that is koshering your grill grate when it's still the permitted time, meaning while it's still night, you kosher that grill grate. If you wait until the morning when it already becomes prohibited, then it's going to be too late. Then you will have to do the full koshering. We're only talking about koshering it when it's still permitted. So in that case, it only leaves, but dipping in boiling water takes out most of the flavor of the karbanos. It leaves a little bit. That little bit is not significant enough for the prohibition of nosar, the time limit on the karbanos, to take effect. So therefore, it doesn't matter that there's still some flavor of the karbanos left in that grill grate. It doesn't affect anything. However, if you grilled pork on a grill grate and you just dip it in boiling water, it'll take out some of the pork flavor, but there's still some left in there, and that flavor is usher. So that's going to come out on whatever you grill next, on your kosher hamburger, on your Hasidus Shechita. Okay, so that's what the Rashba says here. Okay, we don't need to read the Rashba inside. So then the next piece here is, does this, when can we apply? So this is a big, huge leniency in how to kosher, let's say, grill grates. So this is a huge deal for, because it could be a huge deal for Pesach. We'll see in a second that it's not. But you, a lot of times, now most of the things you cook on your grill are not chametz, but oftentimes you put hamburger buns on top of the grill. Sometimes ground meat has actual chametz mixed into it. So how can we apply this? So if you take a look at this next section, where we don't have kachim today, we don't have karbanos, but let's say you want to kosher something from fleishix or milchix to parev. That's when this is really relevant. The milchic taste was permitted when it was absorbed. Therefore, you can kasher using hagala, even if it was used with direct heat. We're not talking about milchic to fleishik, because we already said the custom is not to kasher something from milchic to fleishik, because we're afraid you get confused. But that's why we're talking about milchik to fleishik to parav here. Okay, so that's one way. Why do you need to kosher a spit to go from fleishik to parav? I have no idea. But just keep it in mind as a rule of when you could apply this. The other example is when you make a mistake in your kitchen, and let's say. We'll see more examples of this. A frying pan is a very good example. When, let's say, your milchik frying pan is not ben yomo, so it does it right. 24 hours elapsed since you used it last for milchiks. You fried eggs with cheese in there. Now, 2 days later, you use it, you fry fleishiks in there. So, first of all, you trafed up the frying pan, right? We'll see. The frying pan is considered something that requires libum usually. So, even though this is now prohibited to use because you've got meat and dairy absorbed into this frying pan, and you have to kosher it, but you're allowed to. It's considered hetera bala. Because, why is it a terabella? So let's look at the example they're talking about here. If the utensil in question absorbed taste through direct heat, a hot steak fell onto the side of a milchik pot that was on the fire. Okay. Meaning, he didn't teach us anything about frying pans, I think, so he's not using that example. But we can apply this to a frying pan too, right? Normally it would require libun for a frying pan. Like if you cooked bacon in a frying pan, you couldn't use it for kosher unless you koshered it with direct flame. We'll just take that as a given right now. So, however, if you cooked kosher meat in it, and you waited 24 hours, and now you use the pot with dairy, so you have to kosher it, but you don't have to use a direct flame, because you're taking out taste that was technically permitted when it was absorbed. But which taste are you taking out? Are you taking out the milchik or the fleishik? You're taking out the milchik, but now it's parev, though. You kosher it, now it's parev.
It is, but you're going to use fleishik and go back to the fleishik.
Are you?
You're going to make it fleishik. It started fleishik. You made a mistake.
It started fleishik.
Cooking milk.
Right.
So you want to do, you can kosher it to be parv, but you're going to use it.
Right. It's a fleishik pot.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Meaning, The fact that this utensil is now treif, meaning because it has absorptions of milchiks and fleishiks in it, that doesn't make it considered to be that it absorbed prohibited food like bacon. No. When the milchik absorbed, that was permitted to... Well, when the fleishik, right, we're talking about a fleishik, but when the fleishiks went in, it was totally permitted. When the milchiks went in, you weren't allowed to do it, but it didn't make anything treif because it wasn't ben yomo, right? It was already 24 hours. So therefore... There's no actual prohibited stuff here. You just can't use it because it has these two contradictory absorptions. You're allowed to kosher it with agala. So, let's save chametz for next time. And we'll get more into this whole topic of libun, etc. Thanks for joining me, everybody.